You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I was going to call this podcast the Secondary Scoring Woes Podcast Part 12, because that's all we've been talking about every week, it seems. I mean, outside of, yay, they started 8-2-1, and blah, blah, blah. Here we are. And it's looking a lot like last year, except we have James Neal, fortunately, instead of Milan Lucic. 10 goals instead of Milan had, what, one goal by this time last year?
There's only five Oilers have scored an even strength goal this year. Five Oilers, they played 12 games.
And two of them are defensemen,
and
right?
one was a 4-on-4. That was Nygaard from Haas off the faceoff. That was a 4-on-4. Neil, Cassian, Leon, and Connor McDavid are the only forwards that have scored an even strength goal 12 games in.
I'm just going to shake. That's not hear this part. This is me shaking my head.
That's not very good.
What does a general manager or coach do?
Florida had three goals from their third and fourth line players yesterday in a 6-3 game.
Yeah. It's worse than last year.
I agree with Rob. It's worse.
They have it's maddening to people because they have the two pieces in place that organizations wait generations for. Two of the top five or six players in the entire league at the height of their game, and it's just no help at all. You can't find the supporting cast. Those are the easiest players to find. Find a third and a fourth line winger who can kick in 8 goals a year, 10 goals a year, and you got suddenly 6 Tobias Reeders plumbing around out there accomplishing nothing. I mean, they've been good on the power on the penalty kill, which was a major issue last year. It was sinking this team, so they've shored that up to a very large degree. And then, you know, a lot of those guys are playing those sort of, you know, even minutes where you don't score, but you don't get scored on for the most part. The last game, everybody got scored on. The entire team was a minus, but that's not sustainable. You need help. You can't have 4 guys doing all of your scoring, and it's not even a small sample size. We're 12 games in, you know, that's a chunk of the season already. And these guys haven't turned a wheel offensively, and it's going to weigh down on your top guys.
Matthew Barnaby was talking to Reed Wilkins last week, and he said, I don't care if you're a bottom 6 player. If you break it down to 5 game segments, I don't care how many minutes you're getting. If you're getting 8-9 minutes a game, you have to get at least a point or a goal as a role player. You can't just go 10 games without nothing. If you're getting 9 minutes a game, that's plenty of minutes. You know, you're not always just killing penalties. And you're playing against third pairing defensemen. You should be able to get something. And I think the bottom 6 players are, it's almost like bottom 8 or 9, because there's more than just 6 guys playing the bottom 6 with the Oilers. There's no shots either. If you look at it, you know, they've played 12 games, 8 shots, you know, 9 shots. What, you know, not even getting one a game. And, you know, it's a little tough to, if you're not providing any offense. And I agree with Rob. They kill penalties well, and that was certainly an Achilles. And I think they're better defensive players in the bottom 6 now than before. But anytime you go into a season and you're looking at role players, you say, you know, he scored, we're counting on him getting 12. Or he got 19 one year, so we're counting on him getting 15 or whatever. It does not work with bottom 6 players. Maybe they had one good year, like Marcus Granlund, he got 19. Josh Archibald got, 12. The one player in the bottom six who is very disappointing is Jujhar Khaira. I mean, he's got more offensive ability than a lot of the guys in the bottom six, but he's just kind of morphed into just, he kills some penalties and he's out there, but there's no offense. That's 60 games last year, 12 this year, 72 games, 3 goals. And he's better than that. I mean, he should be with his size and stuff. Or yeah. Maybe he's not.
Well, I don't know. He might be one of those guys that the way the game is evolving has kind of left him behind a little bit. Like when it was it was more physical and cycling and he could use his, a little bit of fighting and a little bit of hard hitting. And he was kind of like a poor man's Lucic. He played a rugged game. And now that it's a speed game, and not that he's a slow guy by any stretch of the imagination, but you just don't notice him out there.
He'd be more valuable once you got to the playoffs when there's a little bit more work along the boards and the games are tighter and such like that.
You have to battle
through more. But in the regular season where it's, I thought it was very obvious yesterday that Florida seemed quicker. Their bottom six guys were faster and, they created some stuff.
Well, it just becomes this black hole. Like how many years in a row that they bring in a guy who he scored 12 on this team or he scored 14 on this team and he comes to Edmonton and just nothing. And it's again the same thing. Archibald kicked in a few and Granlund and these guys, they come here and it's just, nope, sorry. Everybody's Tobias Rieder. I don't know what it is, but they're just.
And once you've got through the first month and you're not scoring, it's not suddenly the light bulb just doesn't go on and suddenly you score six the next month. Usually get through the first month, and that was that way with Rieder last year. And we kept thinking, he's proven he can score. Well, he didn't score. And then the harder it goes for role players who haven't scored, they're not skilled to score goals. So, if they go a long time without scoring, they just lose their hands completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this team doesn't roll four lines. They overplay the top guys significantly. Those guys are in the 22, 23, 24 minutes sometimes. And then, you've got your second line on top of that. And there's not a lot of crumbs left over. So you don't get in a rhythm, but it's also a chicken and an egg thing. If they were more effective and beating their line, the other team's third line or fourth line, 1-0, you're going to get ice time. So
it's almost like the coach is caught in a real bind here. McDavid and Draisaitl are so good together. You don't want to break them up. But maybe he just has to play three centers and it was best three centers play with whatever wingers they are. Mm-hmm. And maybe they can drag wingers who can't score into scoring more.
Well, there's four things the Oilers can do. They can either A, break up Draisaitl and McDavid, have the three centers with Nugent Hopkins center the three lines. Number two, and throw everything into a blender and see what happens. Two, you call some guys up from Bakersfield who might be showing something down there, or maybe not. Who knows? One of Joe Gambardella, Tyler Benson, Cooper Marody, Kata Yamamoto, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe that provides you a spark, although they're trying that. Well, they called up Gagne here last week. Maybe not that works. Number three, it's probably too early to make a trade to try to do something. Or number four, there's medical. There's got to be a truth serum or some kind of serum that – I'm kidding, but what does a coach do?
You can only drag so much out of guys who just aren't goal scorers. They just don't. They don't have the facility for creating. And I guess you could play three centers, and Nugent Hopkins then would be stuck with not very much. One of those. Here you go. Here you go, Nuge.
You've got Alex Chase on in the lineup.
Well, and Alex is fighting it himself. Mm-hmm. We're almost through October and he hasn't scored a goal. Last year at this time, he missed the first five games and he scored every game till the end of the month.
Yeah, there's a few. Even Cassian dropped off 3 goals in the first 3 games and nothing since. And
Ryan Nugent Hopkins has 1 goal, but it's on the power play. He hasn't scored an even strength goal. So they're doing it on the power play, and they're killing the penalties well. 5-on-5, I don't think they're playing. They're pretty average, but their power play is helping them out in their goaltending.
I almost was going to say it's too bad there's a salary cap, but you know,
yeah.
You know, you solve your problem by finding somebody's high priced, underperforming, one time, multi. Well, another James.
They're
Neal,
not
I
bringing.
Guess.
They're not going to bring up Kyler Yamamoto unless he has somebody to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not a creator. He needs a good center to get him the puck and do some stuff.
Well, you've got three centers.
Well, if you want to play that way, then you bring. You could bring Yamamoto up, I guess. But I don't think they want to.
It's very rare that somebody comes up from the AHL and saves the NHL team.
That's, sure.
It's a different.
You know, and Tyler Benson is, like, is quite a good player, but he's a passer.
What bullets does Ken Holland have in his gun?
Of his defensemen are healthy, there's a trade to be made there. You know, you add, cause the defense has been okay so far, and then you add, you know, Larson and you know, now Pearson's injured to that mix. Suddenly you have something that you could move. I don't know what you would get back for it, but they just need, again, a halfway decent player who can score 12 to 14, 15 goals, which they thought they had three or four of those guys, and apparently that wasn't the case. So,
and this is what happens when
you're
trading
away. The trades usually happen
in
the summer anyway. The trades don't happen in season. It's tough to make a trade for trade's sake, although Pittsburgh seems to be able to do it. You know, all of a sudden they trade it, you know, for Tanner Pearson or somebody like that on another team. It's not an actual forward, but you know, I think what's going to happen in the summer is that the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to come to the Edmonton Oilers and say, we'll trade one of our good offensive forwards for Darnell Nurse.
Yeah. Give him Larson. Just make that trade finally even out.
Or somebody with some grease to his game, because Toronto doesn't have any grease.
Which Larson would be perfect for. He plays a really physical. He's a good hard-nosed, hard-playing defenseman.
I think that's what'll happen. But in season, it's tough to suddenly get better. I don't, you know. And, you know, we're slagging a team that's 8-3-2, you know.
That's based off two of these last three games.
Well, I've lost three of the last four, actually. But you know, I looked at the standings yesterday, and there's 15 teams, 6-5, 5-4, you know, 5-5. I mean, most of the league is around 500. Even good teams are only two games over 500.
Well, they were talking on the radio. I don't know where, like on the Oilers broadcast, and I don't know where they got the stat from, but it's legit. Like, in terms of strength of schedule, the Oilers had the 29th.
Easiest.
Because the teams are playing
29th
this
hardest,
month.
I guess, would be the thing. Okay, so they were playing, you know, I think only, I don't know, number two or three of the teams they've played so far are above the playoff cut line. So, you know, like everybody's been saying, they've done really well with the opponents that were put in front of them, but, you know,
and they're going on the road and playing teams that aren't either. I mean, they're going to play Detroit. They're 3-8-1. And then Pittsburgh's 7-5. And Columbus is like 500. So they're not exactly going to play Stanley Cup threats there either. So the first month is pretty easy.
No, they're not facing their divisional juggernauts like Vegas or San Jose or even
Calgary.
Well,
they should be playing it. I'm sure they wish they were playing San Jose. Right now, San Jose's not playing very good.
Yeah, there's not a lot of teams that are really at the top of their game. And now St. Louis is screwed because Tarasenko's shoulder, I just heard that he's out. So
well, maybe everybody's saving it for the second half of the year, like the Blues. I'm kidding, but no one wants to start your year off like that ever, because it generally doesn't work that way.
And the Oilers do have injuries, but until those injuries are to 97 and 29, I don't think it matters. I mean, all these other injuries, they're just injuries per se. I mean, they've got some players hurt, but they're not the players that are driving the bus.
So realistically, I mean, the Oilers are going to have to obviously rearrange the deck chairs. I'm not going to call it the Titanic just yet, because there's still 70 games or so to go. But, you know, if you're trying to find the right mix, I mean, this is not new. This is last year territory as well. This is the stuff the Oilers had to go out and try to do, break up Draisaitl and McDavid at points to see if they could spur more offense that way. But, you know, like we've been saying, the bottom six is just a desert. I don't know. I mean, is it breaking up the Riley Sheehan Jujhar Khaira combo there? They're both big players. You need to have two bigger, albeit and probably slower guys. You need to inject some more speed there somehow. I mean, you're right. Not having Joachim Nygaard in the lineup, because he is a speedy forward, that does handcuff you a bit. But he was playing top six. He wasn't down in the bottom six.
No, he'd be on the second line probably. Neil would be back playing right wing, and Nygaard would be playing left wing on the second line. Chiasson would be back on the third line. So I don't know. It's, you're right. You're just shuffling people if you're looking at bottom six guys.
Yeah. You know. And it's, I mean, all they need to be pretty much, thanks to that quick start of theirs, is hang around 500 for the rest of the season, and you're still right in that playoff mix.
Be one game over 500.
So, I mean, it's not like they're asking them to be world beaters, just win every second game, which they can do. And it, this formula is almost kind of sustainable. Like, Draisaitl and McDavid are so good that, you know, you're going to lose one out of every three games because they don't get any help, but you're probably going to win two out of every three games because, A, the level of competition around the league is more concentrated at the top. There are a lot more teams, you know, from the middling level down, where two superstar players can totally dominate and steal a game. I mean, that's almost the formula. Like, get the other bottom six guys to just kill time until McDavid and the power play and Draisaitl can get you a couple of three goals. So that'll work during the season. And if they ever make the playoffs, they'll get rolled. There's no way that works in a seven-game series where the checking is a lot tighter and you need production from everybody. But first things first, right? You know, get to the playoffs or get to that chase. But, you know, we'll see. It's you find out about a team at about the 20-game mark, what they really are. And I still have some questions. I'm not really sure if this team is for real yet or if this stuff is sustainable. We'll find out soon enough, because I think this next eight-game stretch is going to – where they're sitting at 20 games is who they are, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
We're just talking about the forwards mostly here. We're going to find out, because – you know, we all know what happened with Mikko Koskinen last year on the goaltending side of things. I mean, he right now, he has got zero losses on his docket. He did go into the game yesterday against Florida to mop up for Mike Smith. Right now, he looks like the good Mikko Koskinen from last year, the one that had, you know, someone to fall back on, the one from before Christmas when the Oilers went on a bit of a run there after Hitchcock was hired. Mm-hmm. So it remains to be seen over a longer stretch of games what we do have in net long term. Right now, goaltending has been a difference for the Oilers.
Yeah. Well, he was great at the start last year as well, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this a lot of things that we're seeing now are kind of just the exact same stuff that happened last year. They went 7-2-1 twice last season, right? So it's not like this team is incapable of getting on these really hot rolls and looking like they've got it figured out. And it's not like Koskinen can't get on a really hot roll and look like a all-world goaltender, which, you know, a couple of things that we saw happen last season, and they missed the playoffs. So it's over the long haul. I think Koskinen just, you know, fatigue was a big factor. They played him way too much. Like, that was the coach's fault. Like, they're playing this dude, well, I forget what the number was. It was like 23 out of 25 games down the stretch, and they're wondering, oh, how come he's not as sharp as he used to be? You know, I'll tell you. So, I mean, the 2-2 system seems to be working for him so far, although it's very early. Nobody should be tired yet. So we'll see how that goes. And, you know, in terms of the Oilers maintaining their streaks, well, that should be an interesting study as well.
Well, you know, the whole mantra of not wanting to have more than one loss at a time, minimize your losing streaks. Like, you know, we don't want to have that second loss. We want to, you know, I mean, that's unrealistic. It's going to happen, but you don't want to get into
it's
the
already
checks.
Happened.
It's already happened.
Winnipeg and Minnesota, they already lost.
Sure.
But they did get a point in the one game. So I guess going two games in a row without a point, but yeah, they're...
The difference is they're beating the teams kind of that they're supposed to beat, whereas last year the team would come in here with a little bit tired and be below them in the standings, and the Oilers would just, you know, go full Oiler and lose that game. Now they'll, you know, a weaker team will come in here, a team that Edmonton should beat, and they'll beat them. You know, it's not a world beater. It's nothing that you can, you know, a trophy that you'd hang on your mantle, but you've got those 2 points that you should have got against a weaker team. And that's a sign that you're kind of trending in a positive direction, but you know, it'll be fascinating to see what they do against Colorado and Calgary and some of those, you know, Vegas, when they go into a stretch against some of the powerhouse teams and really reveal what they're all about.
I think yesterday's game was more of a trap game because they played Washington, came out and beat a really good team. And then they play Florida, a team they're looking at going, oh, we can beat these guys. Even though Florida came in, you know, points in seven straight games. So, and they played very tough teams.
Yeah,
they should probably really should have looked schedule. At a little tighter and said, "Oh, we got to at least play good." And the 6-2. Sometimes you can lose 6-2, and it's it wasn't as bad as it looked. It was. They deserved to lose by 4 goals yesterday.
Yeah, they should have been down a couple in the first.
They deserved to lose by 4.
So. And they're trailing every game they play now. It's like 9 of 12. They've been behind, and sometimes it's only 1-0. But you know, you can't. That's a bad sign too. Like that's a trend that won't last. That you're not coming back that often, that frequently. So again, that 8-2-1 is, or 8-3-1 looks very nice. But boy, I'm just wondering if it's a house of cards.
They're 8-3-1, and they've scored as they've almost. It's almost a saw off in terms of goals for and goals against now. You know, because they lose 6-2, so it's getting closer to. And you're right. You know, they've been behind in games for 195 minutes and been ahead 188. Yet they're 5 games over 500. So they've clawed their way to wins, even though they've been down in the games. Yeah.
A couple of times they've scored in the final 90 seconds or whatever. That stuff doesn't happen all year long. It happens here and there, but it's not something that you.
And that's the sort of thing where, you know, my serum idea would come in. Great. Is it a mindset? I don't know. It's sports. You know, you can't explain why these things happen, the collective group somehow sagging or whatever. But if there was a serum, I'm sure everybody would use it.
I think they just sit back and watch Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and think, you know, we don't have to do as much because we have two of the best players in the National Hockey League. So let's just, you know, stay out of the way and let those guys do it instead of saying, let's, you know, be a part of it instead of. I don't want to call them spectators because, you know, the PK is important and trying to saw off your shift so you don't get scored on is important because those were two things that were happening last year that were killing them. But,
you know, the Oilers aren't the only team with two all-world players.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh's got two all-world players.
Look at Boston. That one line in Boston, they get 2 or 3 goals every game with Marchand and Pastrnak and Bergeron. And they're way over 500 because of the one line's carrying them. So, but when you take a look at their roster, they still got some guys farther down the roster, you know, can score some goals.
DeBrusque and those guys are kicking.
You know, I
don't want to go back to the 80s and talk about Messier and Gretzky and that team because that's totally different.
I think the key to the Oilers is not their fourth line. They got a good enough fourth line, whoever they put on their fourth line to kill penalties and stuff. It's the third line in today's NHL that has to kick in some goals. It's 9 players now. It's not 6. You need good players on the third line too.
Well, even the second line 5-on-5 too, right?
Yeah, second line 5-on-5. And if there's no 5-on-5 goals, then, I mean, you think James Neal's going to get 10 goals every month? Probably not. Well, maybe he will. Maybe he'll get 50.
Yeah, who knows?
How much will that cost? Oh, wait, he's already locked
in. He's locked in. You don't have to worry about him.
That's the Oil Spills podcast for today. You can subscribe to Oil Spills via Apple's podcast app or iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you may access your podcasts.